Hello everyone, welcome to Small Biz Tips. So about, geez, 5, 6 years ago, I met this person. I was so blown away by everything she'd done and accomplished. I was like, wow. She's been a mentor from afar. She may not know this until now. So I'm excited to have her on today. Kelly, what's up?
Gilbert, thank you so much. It's so good to see you. I feel like it really has been a while since we've seen each other in person back in New York City, but I'm
I
so happy to
know.
reconnect with you.
Well, thank you for jumping on. I'm excited to have you because you have a new book coming out. Oh my God, I think it's going to change a lot of lives. So, before we get to that, right? People that don't know who Kelly is, who is Kelly?
That's a very existential question to start out with. I owned a digital marketing agency from a very young age. Corporate America and I were kind of like oil and water. So I wanted nothing to do with that after about a year and a half after graduating. And so I started this digital marketing agency. I didn't really know what I was doing, as most 2-year-olds don't. But over the course of 14 years, I learned a lot, and I made a lot of mistakes. And ultimately, when I was about 36, I realized that I was just not happy. Even though the business was successful, I loved my team. We were doing great work in the world and really helping a lot of nonprofits and social impact clients. It wasn't feeding my soul anymore, right? And I'm not sure, if I'm really honest, if it ever was. And so it was like this, I don't know, I guess I talk about it a little bit like a combination of an ego death and a little bit of like a spiritual awakening. Like, what the heck am I going to do now? Because I don't want to do this anymore. I was able to sell the company, which is great. And I know, you recently sold the company, so you know what that's about. But I was like, what am I going to do now? Right. So I went into consulting, and like that was great. The money was great. I loved helping other agency owners to navigate a lot of, business and business development, all the things that you and I have always talked about. But really, the thing that really lit me up was when I started talking with them, or they started talking with me and bringing up things that were personal challenges for them, things about their mental health, things that were impacting their employees and the relationship between them and their employees. And they noticed that maybe they were bringing these things home to their wives or husbands and impacting the relationship with their kids, or holding them back from getting really involved in their community. And I thought, wow, this is so fascinating, right? I've always been interested in human behavior and psychology, but that was not my background. I'm not a therapist. It's just easy for me to connect with people. And so I went and got certified as a trauma-informed leadership coach, and I've been doing that work ever since.
That's
So
amazing.
it's been a really interesting path.
I got so many questions. You said something earlier about ego death and spiritual awakening. What do you mean by that?
So, when you come to a place where, I won't say you, I'll say I'll speak for myself. So I came to a place where I knew I wasn't happy. I didn't know why I wasn't happy. And all these years later, I figured out that what I was actually doing was using the business as a vehicle for happiness, right? Which any time you use something externally outside of yourself to give joy or to give you fulfillment or to give you happiness, and you're not doing that internally for yourself, it's never going to win. Like, you never, it's a losing proposition, right? So I didn't figure that out until well after I sold the company. I was like, why did I even start a business at 22 years old, right? It wasn't just because I was driven and intelligent, or because I had that oil and water relationship with corporate America. Yes, I naturally had those abilities and sort of leaned into that direction, but I wanted to know why. And when I started unraveling and unpacking the why, that's when sort of the whole, let's say, my whole constructed worldview started to dissolve. And that's what I mean by an ego death, right? It's like, what is my place in the world? What is my purpose? What is my experience and expertise here to contribute? And those are big existential questions, right? That most people don't take the time to actually think about.
I agree 100%. It's funny you said that because I'm thinking about my first company and why I was doing it. And and I'm starting to like, you're putting things into perspective for me. And I'm sure there's a lot of owners listening to this that might be thinking the same way. So I'm curious, right? Because you actually wrote a book on, Heal to Lead. Tell us more about what got you to think maybe there need to be a book around this. Like, give us a little detail. How did that even come to mind?
Yeah, so the through line is when I started asking myself all of those kind of bigger, deeper questions, I was like, well, I can't be the only one thinking about this, right? And I wonder how much of this void that I'm trying to fill with this business, I wonder how much of this is actually correlated back to some childhood trauma that I experienced with, in my household. And then when I started pulling that thread, it was like, oh, it wasn't just in my household. There were lots and lots of adversities that I encountered over the course of my, let's say, first 20 years. I'm not the only one. Like almost every single one of us, I might even posit to say every single one of us has experienced some type of trauma, right? And so we
100%.
rail against this word, right? This word feels really big and really scary. Because most people think about it like, oh, well, if you've experienced a trauma, it means that you got in a car accident or someone died when you were young or you lived in a war-torn nation. And all of those things are traumatic. And many other things in that realm are sort of that big T trauma that we typically think about. But there are a lot that are small T traumas, right? So if you ever felt betrayed or humiliated or rejected when you were younger, and your nervous system didn't have the ability to cope with that feeling, that information, we'll call it, got stored in your body. And that storing of information is now imprinted so that it impacts every decision that you make going forward until you figure out that you need to integrate that. You need to unpack it with a therapist or, some other professional. And integrate it into who you are and have a better understanding of yourself.
I got a question around this because you just break down and define exactly what trauma is in the most simplistic way. Because you hear that word a lot, right? But thank you for that. So I'm curious, how might leaders that, like founders of companies, people leading team, how might like they're realize those? Because sometimes, we on the go, we don't see the signs. Like, is there signs that we should be paying attention to?
So I think, some of this really requires some self-awareness, right? Some curiosity. So, for example, if you're a leader and you think that you might be leaning toward being like more of a people pleaser or more of a people controller, like you tend to micromanage, right? You like don't trust people to do this the job the way you would do it. These are all little tiny signs that there might be something else deeper going on underneath.
Got it.
So that self-awareness of recognizing, when I'm leading a meeting, do people feel safe enough and comfortable enough to, throw out what their ideas are, or maybe the concerns that they might have, or do people feel comfortable enough to challenge some idea that I put out to the team? If the answer is no, then it's like, oh, well, you might have to take a step back and think about what is your contribution to that? If you're creating an environment where people don't feel safe to express themselves because of how you react, you got to look at that, right? So this is the way that I'll say it, Gilbert, is like trauma in general, we never consented to it, right? It's not our fault, no matter what happened, small, big, you name it. But it is our responsibility to heal and integrate it, right? Because otherwise, it's the 4-year-old or the 9-year-old or the 12-year-old version of us that's running our companies, and we don't want that.
Like, I just had to pause because now you even got me thinking a bit deeper, because that these traumas go all the way back in our childhood. So it's
Oh,
not
yeah.
just things that's happening in your day to day, it's things from like when you were younger, what you experienced, how did that impact the way you do work? How does personal trauma, like you mentioned something about the organization and the team, how do you see that impacting the bottom line for a company?
Well, I mean, going back to the example that we were talking about, right? If people don't feel like they can comfortably and safely bring their ideas, then you're going to impact collaboration. You're going to impact creativity, innovation, right? If you create an unsafe environment, unknowingly or knowingly, if you create that unsafe environment, your best people are going to leave. You know, and I know how much money it takes to acquire new employees and how much money it takes to acquire new clients.
Customers, yeah.
That all trickles down to that lagging indicator, which is profitability. So everything that I'm talking about, make no mistake, this is a business conversation. This is not fluffy self-help healing, right? That's why this book was so important to me, to find a publisher who understood that this was a business leadership book and not a self-help book.
I love it.
Everything trickles down. Yeah.
Tell us about the book a little bit. Like, what should someone expect when they start reading? Because, you know, I know it's coming out soon, so
give us a few weeks. So, you know, really the book largely is about the four fundamentals of what I call high conscious leadership, right? Okay. So people, planet, and profit on equal plane. Again, it's a business leadership book, right?
Yeah.
And I shouldn't even say profit, because we also talk about, you know, leaders in other sectors like nonprofit, government, education, healthcare, where profitability isn't always the conversation. Maybe it's more about revenue.
Impact,
right?
Yeah.
So impact. So high conscious leadership, you know, maybe you're familiar with, and some of the other people listening are familiar with conscious leadership, right? Which was something that came out about a decade ago from the former CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey. Conscious leadership had this idea, or posited, that business, like the number one purpose of business, is not to make money. It's to create impact. It's to make sure that you're stewarding the environment. It's to make sure that you're taking care of your employees. And then the trickle down effect is that, yes, if you do all these things, the in integrity, let's say, then it will impact the bottom line in a positive way. So the piece here that I'm adding to that conversation is that part of being a conscious leader is about having a lot of self-awareness.
Yes.
But no one yet has talked about, well, how do I develop self-awareness?
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, conscious leadership is great. I want to sort of level that up a bit to say high conscious leadership is available to those people who are taking the responsibility to do the work on themselves, to do their own trauma integration work. And that's how you develop self-awareness, right? So it's not an overnight thing. This is not a blue pill, right?
Yeah.
This is hard work and it's a lifelong commitment. But if you want to be in integrity and you want to lead a sustainable organization for a long time, this is the way.
I'm curious, what being in a space, who have you seen has been the example of high conscious leaders?
Yeah, in the book, I actually have a number of people from a historical perspective, and then also present day leaders, right? So, you know, in some of those examples, it's not only the Oprah Winfrey's of the world and the Michelle Obama's of the world. It's not only celebrity. There are a lot of people running, you know, corporations. And listen, there are a lot of people who we don't even know because they're small business owners, right?
Yeah.
This is your audience. Lots and lots of small business owners are doing a great job at doing their inner work, leading companies, caring about their employees, making sure that they're also considering the environment. So there's tons of people out there doing this. It's just not, you know, they're not as well known just because of, you know, their status. But there are so many examples that we can think about. The former CEO of Oracle, you know, one of the sustainability executives for IKEA. I mean, there's lots of examples. So again, in the book, and I'm happy to give you a little bit, if you want to add that into the show notes, of who those examples are.
Absolutely. A couple of different ones, that'd be good. So I'm curious, because leaders come in different forms, right? So you have people that lead company, you have people that lead team. What have you seen has been kind of like, you know, for people that's within the team, right? Because as the companies has grown, like, what are some of, I guess, examples or ways that you can suggest for someone that's leading a team? What should they be doing to not only bring that high level consciousness out, but also be a better leader for the team?
Yeah. So again, this book is for both emerging and
Yeah.
established leaders, right? So the emerging leaders are going to be people who maybe have never led teams before or have never had direct reports. Maybe they're in a managerial perspective position. Maybe they're a new in a director level position. They don't have to be C-suite, you know. What they can do, honestly, sounds like a broken record, but they doing the work on themselves and then modeling that for other people. In the book, I talk about the other few fundamentals of high conscious leadership, which are embodying vulnerability, leading with compassion, and lighting the way, which means you're lighting the way for other people and lighting the way for other beings in the world, right? Not just humans. You know, so the embodiment of vulnerability is like if you're doing your own work, you're going to feel more comfortable saying, you know, I don't actually have all the answers. I would love to hear from you, team. Like, what ideas do you have? I actually need your help in leading this, right? Because we've all sort of adopted this idea of leadership that the leader has to be stoic, no emotion, all the answers, no help. Right? It's not sustainable. Yet we've been running on that ideology for the last 250 plus years since the Industrial Revolution.
I think that's how a lot of people end up burning out.
Totally.
Is they not only have all this trauma, but they have to be portrayed as this type of leader that
And
knows.
pretend that they don't have trauma. And
Exactly.
pretend that everything's fine, right? I can't ask for help. I can't show weakness. This is why embodying vulnerability is such a really positive part of effective leadership.
I'm curious, right? Because if you go in a lot of organization, they're trying to have that front. Would you say that that founder or leader or team leader should be like, you know, should they portray that to their team members, or should they be more vulnerable to their people, their higher ups, right? People that are in there, you know what I mean? Like, who should they be bringing that vulnerability out to?
So the embodiment of vulnerability, right, means that this is our way of being. It means that we're not doing emotional labor to figure out who can I be vulnerable with? Who should I be honest with? Right? Because once you start separating that out to say, oh, well, I'm only going to be vulnerable and be honest and transparent with my leadership team, but the rest of everyone else, they're going to think everything's fine. You're creating a split. You're creating distrust within the organization, right? Because now you have to remember who did I say what to?
I'm
Doesn't
glad you
work.
said that. So it's
Yeah.
really just got to be yourself in front of
Be
everybody.
yourself, right? And I know that there's been a lot of talk about, you know, bring your full self to work and authenticity. And those things are fine. I think that they've lost their meaning a little bit because everyone was talking about that over the pandemic. I understand why that happened, but I think we need language that is shared, right? That we can all understand how to be more approachable, how to be more human. I mean, that's the way forward in business. We're not going backwards. I can guarantee you that.
I agree 100%. Well, I gotta have you come back, but since time is kind of like running out, I'm curious, as a small biz tips for any entrepreneurs out there who listen to this, what has been like one your key lesson that you've learned as you've been writing this book, and what is that one small tip you would share with any business owners beside what we spoke about, that can really help them?
Okay, so I'll say the one of the bigger things in the book, specifically for small business owners, is that this idea of resilience is a lie.
Tell us more.
Resilience, right? Resilience, essentially, if we look at the etymology of resilience, it's really about bouncing back, right? It's rebounding at a pretty quick pace, right? Think about what a spring does. In order to be resilient, you need to suppress your emotions, right? It's like, oh, let's say I lost someone in the family, and the very next day, you know, maybe I went to a wake or a funeral or something. I grieved for by 6 hours, and now I'm back, and I have to pretend like everything's fine, right? That's emotional suppression because you don't grieve in 6 hours over the loss of a family member. So resilience needs to be replaced with what I borrow from other researchers, post-traumatic growth. So
Okay.
instead of suppressing your emotions, it's actually engaging with your emotions, doing the inner work that I'm talking about, so that post-trauma, whatever the trauma is from childhood, from yesterday, from whatever, post that, there's a growth that you can actually measure, that you can see, that you can anecdotally talk about, right? So that's the first thing I would say. Let's throw resilience out the window. Let's replace that with post-traumatic growth, which covertly means that people need to be doing the work on themselves. Any modality that feels, true and resonant for people. And in the book, I do have a website that's just purely, educational. Lots and lots of modalities and practices and tools for people to go to, which is at myhealingmenu.com. It's set up like a restaurant menu,
Love
just
it.
to make it fun. So that's, I would say that from a takeaway perspective. And the book has so much in it, but I'll give that as that. And then the tip I would say, if you're not in therapy, or you're not working with a coach of some sort that's not solely focused on business, that might be a really good place to start. If you've never had a conversation with some kind of mental health professional or someone in that realm, life coach, trauma-informed coach, whoever, I think that's a great place to start.
Fantastic. How do people get the book when it comes out? Where do they need to go? Because everybody needs to get that book ASAP.
So right now it's available for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. But honestly, the best place is probably to go to my website, only because it'll have all the independent bookstores. It'll have a write-up about the book, testimonials, endorsements, things like that. You can read a little bit more about it before you decide to buy it. So that is just klcampbell.com.
Fantastic, guys. Get that book. I don't have to say anything else. This was amazing. Thank you for jumping on and sharing this
Yeah.
with us. It even got me thinking more about what I got going on. So thank you for that. This is amazing. Guys, check it
Yeah.
out, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.